I'm not doing very well today, so if I don't make any sense,
we'll fire you.
Fire me. Please fire me.
Firing you from the editorial board.
Good.
Show up my trouble.
In the life of Abraham, there were two overriding things that happened. The first one early in life, and the second one, well, we don't know how old he was when it happened, but the first one was his recognition that anything that changes with time isn't worthy of giving importance to. It can't be given in any breath, it can be just something that passes by. And that led him to destroy all the idols in the kingdom that Nimrod was head of. And it also, but it more importantly, it destroyed the idols within him. But there was still in him the possibility that he could find union with God by his own efforts, by going somewhere else, by doing something different, until he experienced the horror of great darkness, when he saw with a certainty and with an incredible amount of intellectual integrity that without God's intervention, there was no hope for union with God. And in fact, there was really no hope for him as a personality. Because, well, anyway, that was the meaning of the horror of great darkness that we talked. Now, those two key events really define humanity, because every person that has ever been born in their own sense is a truth seeker. And so you move towards that, and you're trying to find something worthy of giving importance to. And you see what your parents are doing, and you see what's happening around you, and it doesn't work. And that's in a parable, or in essence, that's what Abraham did with seeing that anything that changed with time wasn't important. But so does really everyone else does that too. But what do? You sell out. You sell out for the sake of comfort, or for the sake of having peace in the family, or for the sake of a million other little porridges. You sell out. You sell your birthright for the sake of something that's tangible. Abraham didn't do that. He kept pushing. He kept pushing. He tried everything. He knew that he'd heard the voice of God. He knew that he was somehow important in this vast array of time and space. But he couldn't figure out how that was going to happen. First, he thought it would happen through Eliezer, his chief steward, because he was starting to see his own mortality. And so all of the promises that God gave him, that every place his foot stepped would be holy ground, he saw it couldn't be Eliezer. And then he thought it was Lot, his cousin or his nephew or whoever he was. But Lot chose to separate from him. And then he thought it was the heir through Hagar. And then, that couldn't work. So God told him to cast out the bondwoman and her son. And so this search for how this mystery of God will be manifested in Abraham's life is the same thing that's repeated in every man in a way. What is your purpose here? So it all goes back to the same questions you asked when you were a little kid. Why am I alive? What is my purpose? What is the purpose of the earth? but you give up. When you were a little kid, you all asked that question, or those questions. What am I doing here? Well, what happened to that? What happened to that inquisitiveness? You certainly didn't answer the question. Where'd that inquisitiveness go? Where did that questioning and demand for something sure go? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll become a Christian. That way I can put the name of God in what I do, and then I have somebody up there to give me goodies. Or I know what I'll do. I'll become a Muslim. Or I know what I'll do. I'll become a communist. Or I know what I'll do. I'll become a Republican. Because you didn't keep pushing. I know what I'll do. I know what I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship alcohol. I know what I'll do. Huh? Because I love that feeling it gives me. I know what I'll do. I'll worship drugs. I know what I'll do. I'll be hairy and just worship. I'll smoke 100 pounds of marijuana a day. And he wonders why he forgets things.
What?
Or I know what I'll do. I'll get married. That'll fix it. I know what I'll do. I'll get some money. That'll fix it. Or I know what I'll do. I'll have a kid. Then I'll have somebody to love me. And they all fail. That's a lesson of Abraham. That's a lesson of the New Testament. That's a lesson of the Bible. It's to just, the only thing you have to do is be honest. But you lie to yourselves through your teeth. The human race does, continually. Especially they lie about themselves. But Abraham didn't. He kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. The word Hebrew can never really be applied to a race of people, because the word Hebrew means from the other side. Are from another place, and it's always a mysterious place. In fact, it could be really translated from a place outside of time. You can't do a goddamn thing in your life until you have been invaded from a place outside of time. And until you know that that invasion has taken place. And then you look around and you cannot believe that the rest of the world doesn't see it. You can't believe that the rest of the world doesn't know that you can't give importance to anything that changes with time. You can't believe that they can give importance to families and kids and careers and money or drugs or alcohol, because you have been invaded and you have become a Hebrew. You have become from another place, from the other side. And that's really all that Christianity is about. It's about allowing that invasion, which has already taken place, it's not optional, but allowing that invasion by your humility, by your emptying yourself, to manifest itself. Because everything else, they give you orders, they give you rules, they give you laws, they give you, this is what you should do. How many thousand times have you heard that? That's what you should do with your life. You're fucking idiots. Or I said fuck again, didn't I?
Fuck,
yeah.
Shortly after God damn, you said fuck.
I don't feel good, so shut up. What does that mean? I've heard that all my life, cussing a blue streak. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
Well, why do you say it then? What does a coon's age mean?
I think that's derogatory.
Oh, in this culture, that's derogatory. I'm talking about a raccoon.
I hear something here where it's like, this needs something tangible to express it, you know, its faith or whatever, but God's all, things are all intangible, you can't see.
Because if they're tangible, they're not faith.
Then they're not faith, and so there's the divider.
Right, and it's this, because it's this, as we said right yesterday, it's your sin that has separated you from God. Sin isn't what you do. Sin is what and who you are. You are a self-seeking, evil son of a bitch. Every single member of the human race. It cannot be satisfied. That sin, that self-seeking, has separated you from your God.
But that entity is the one you're talking about, seeking God, thinking it's going to be fulfilled.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it's an illusion.
I don't know if it was you that said this, or Rutledge, or the History Channel, or where I heard this, but somebody's written a book based on the appearances in Egyptian writings and things about the appearance of Abraham.
I've talked to you about that. Yeah.
He was described as this bizarre man walking in out of the desert, and somebody has theorized that, you know, that he was like, you know, spaceman or something like that. But he was so bizarre and so different that he came from another world, or he came from the other side. But Pharaoh treated him as an equal. That's bizarre.
Well, they knew that he was the heir apparent from Nimrod. They knew that, I mean, if you believe the legends, that he had been trained on the island of, is it Crete, where Minoan culture was? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That he'd been trained in this mystical culture called the Minoan culture on the island of Crete, where the people that predated the flood were still alive. All the knowledge of that ancient mysteries of people that lived hundreds and hundreds of years was passed down to Abraham. I mean, there's jillions of legends about this. But that kind of makes it out there, you know, separate from you. This Abraham was just like you and I. He's no different. Except he was honest. That's the only difference. He had intellectual integrity. He had a little courage. And he became the father of faith. He became the father of every monotheistic religion in the world, except for that brief moment in time in Egypt when there was a pharaoh that was monotheistic, and that may have been tied to Abraham too. Think of it. In all of history, there's only been three religions that believed in one God. Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And all of them came from Abraham. So therefore, it's kind of important to understand this guy, Abraham. But if you make him an idol that you study and look at and don't incorporate his experiences into your experiences, and you're just building another idol. So first of all, when he recognized that all the things that were being given importance to in his society in Babylon, or whatever Babylon was called back then, when Nimrod was the head of it, he realized that everything else that all these people were giving importance to and giving changed with time. And somehow he intuited that anything that changed with time couldn't be important. It couldn't be a deity. When I was a kid, they had just started the green stamp stuff, right? So everybody was saving green stamps to get bonuses when you went to the grocery store or something. And so everybody had, and these, I had a 1947 Packard, is when was, well, it wasn't my first car, that I kind of destroyed my first car, but, and somebody made me so mad because somebody put a Jesus Saves bumper sticker on it. And I got so mad at that that I went around and we modified the bumper sticker things, or the little, they weren't like bumper stickers today, but I put, every time that I was saw a bumper sticker at a church bulletin board or anything, I put Jesus Saves green stamps. Because I hadn't been in a church since I was like a little kid, because the Lutheran priest kicked me out of catechism class, and most of you know it, because he couldn't answer the questions that I was asking him, and therefore he told my mother I was an evil child. And this is a priest, this is a man of God that's teaching little kids, 6 and 7 years old. He was just an idiot. But so I hated religion because of that experience. I'm still not very fond of it. But I'm totally committed to truth. And the only thing that I have found to be truth was the seed of Abraham. Because I too experienced a form of the horror of great darkness when I saw that I was so totally and completely evil that there was no way that I could be saved. And then the shocking thing was, and yet there was nothing else that I could do except what I'm doing. Paul experienced the horror of great darkness when he couldn't have experienced that unless he experienced truth first, when he said, I would that I were accursed for my brethren's sake. Job experienced it, and we said, throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Have you experienced it? Or is your God dependent? Is your giving importance to your God dependent on your condition? On the situation that you're in? Is your peace and your happiness dependent on whether or not you're getting your way or not? Consider these people who we have dealings with who said, throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. All this other garbage, it's religious garbage is what it is. It's time that you got real. The last thing we need is more religious bullshit. I gotta quit. I don't feel good. Anybody have any response for what I did? I didn't even teach today, so.
Get that religious garbage out of your
head. Any response, Mr. Jim? Anything touch you this morning?
Come up with something.
Yeah. No, don't come up. Don't invent it. Huh?
No. Be honest.
Don't listen to
Stuart.
Alex?
Cool.
You almost got by. everything revolving around me. That's why I told you yesterday that if you're going to, discipline is the act of, the first act of discipline. It's like going into basic training. I promise you, tell your drill sergeant you didn't feel like getting up this morning. My mother, I never felt like getting up this morning, in the morning. And so first of all, my mother, she shook me up and I cold cocked. I didn't realize I was doing it. I promise I didn't. And she knows I didn't. But the next time she woke me up when I didn't win, because I was in high school, but I like to stay out all night rather than go to school. She stood across the room and threw a pan of cold water on me. And she threatened to do that every morning until I got up.
It worked.
Consequences.
What?
Consequences. Makes the decisions easy.
Well, I know, but that's a childish thing. But you can't come out of the childish things until you experience the childish things.
I was thinking of something about showing importance to things that so much, and that even important at all. Very seldom is anything big. It just starts out some little something just ticked me off, or some little I can't find a tool, or something idiotic, and then I'll just harp on it, And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to climb this mountain, and I was like, God, that's crazy sound. But that's what I was trying to guess. Not taking things so damn serious all the time.
Especially yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this tangibility stuff. Is that it's like, stuff has to be tangible. At one time, I thought this way, for me to believe. And if it's not, then how can people believe or have faith in something that they can't see, feel, touch, or smell, or whatever?
I hope you've gone beyond that. And I interrupted you.
No.
This is what you get for laughing at me. You come back a bit. They bite you.
Oh. You'll remember.
You'll remember.
Can't remember it.
Maybe tomorrow.
God's punishing you for picking on Harry.
Yeah.
I told you.
Isn't it interesting how in the split second everything can become about us?
A parallel of how in the realm of faith, it's as expansive as space itself, which seems to have no end. But in the realm of senses, it goes about as far as I can see.
And that's getting less and less and less.
So if I'm going to trust that versus the world of faith, which is without limits, suddenly, how foolish am I?
And older and dumber.
Well, to everybody, faith. I mean, you got to have faith in that stupid chair to sit in it. But again, faith in here means total reliance on. And you can't have faith in God until you've tried to rely on everything else. You can't rely on God until your reliance on everything else has failed. Now, I mean, just think of the stupid things that you give, that you rely on instead of God. I think I mentioned alcohol before. I think I mentioned drugs before. I think I mentioned yourself before. Well, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a Chaldean word. It means anything that you have to rely on or trust in. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. If you trust in yourself, if you trust in money, if you trust in appearance, if you trust in anything that you can see or sense, then you can't trust in God. There, you can't do both. You can say you do both, but you can't mix them. You can't mix oil and water. And so faith is reliance. That's really what the bottom line is, what it means. But you've got to go through the process. If you just have faith, say, I'm a Christian, as I've said so often. Well, if you were in Russia, you'd be a communist. If you were in Saudi Arabia, you'd be a... Because you still rely on everything else around you. You still depend on those things. And so that just proves that you'd be the same as every other culture was in the world. And that's why Jesus said, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we've done all this stuff in your name. And he shall say, depart from me. I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity, ye workers of self-seeking. It's total, 100% dependence, reliance. Relying on anything else is called fornicating. I hope I don't have to define that for you, because I'm afraid of what I'll say. I'll use the F word again.
We'll lose our PG-13.
I think we lost
that. Was PG-13. Go.
All right, I got to go lay down. I hurt so bad. And I got to go to physical therapy today. Take it, big guy.